morning. To welcome you all here this morning, there is a display at the front here today. It's a visual to represent the outpouring of the Spirit of God onto us. And for a call to worship, I'm going to be reading a song out of the hymnal. So you can turn with me there already to 298 in the blue hymnal. Come, Holy Spirit, from heaven shine forth with your glorious light. Come from the four winds, O Spirit. Come, breath of God. Dispense the shadows over us. Renew and strengthen your people. Come, Holy Spirit. You are our only comforter, peace of the soul. In the heat you shade us. In our labor, refresh us. And in trouble, our strength. Come, Holy Spirit. Kindle in our hearts the flame of your love, that in the darkness of the world, it may glow and reach to all forever. Come, Holy Spirit. And now we'll just turn the page to 299 and sing New Heavens, New Earth all together. And please stand. Here again this morning. Is there anybody that needs to be introduced today? Do we have any guests in our midst? Yes. Welcome here. Hopefully you brought some nice BC weather with you for us. It's been a little bit cold the last few days. One never likes to see snow in May, but that does happen. Let's move into our community life. There are still a number of people in hospital and undergoing medical treatments. Peter Hirschfeld is out of the ICU, and he's experiencing some improvements, which the family is hopeful for about, but still no visitors at this time. Please continue to keep Hildy Wiens in our prayers as well. And she's finished her set of six chemo treatments with great results, so that's wonderful to have that finished. And please continue to pray for Gary as well. He's doing our sound today, which is great. And Helen Jansen's son, Victor Jansen, he's still in the hospital, and he's apparently doing better one day and then worse the next. So they're really needing prayers at this time. And also for Tree Harris, as she continues to go undergo treatments for stage 4 brain cancer. And also let's keep Jordan Lozier in our prayers. I'm not sure if Lainey is on her way back. Oh, she's going to BC. Okay. So she's no longer there supporting his family, so I'm sure they're going to need some extra prayers as well. And let's keep Zach in our prayers as he's candidating this morning at Springfield Heights Mennonite Church for their position of youth and children's pastor. Louise Lowen is thanking everybody for the cards and well wishes she received for her 100th birthday. I think that was great that we could do that. And there's also a thanks there to Anna Funk and Anna Sawatsky for cleaning the church kitchens. That is a big job. I know I helped with that one time, and it's a very big job, big kitchen. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted? No? Okay. We'll move into sharing time. Does anybody have anything they would like to share?
I'm very pleased to announce that I have another new great-grandson, Karsten Jett. He's a little brother to Eliana Jade. And now I have 5 great-grandchildren to knit for. So it keeps me busy, and I'm very thankful.
That's wonderful.
2 things. Just to keep our Kim in prayers, she's still struggling. But the other thing is, our Winnipeg Philharmonic is doing a wonderful Russian concert this afternoon at the Westminster Church. We're joined by the Winnipeg Singers and a choir from Duluth, so we've got about 100 voices, and it's all a cappella, so you can imagine. And we have voices, those basses go down to your boots. It is absolutely wonderful, so anybody who is interested in that kind of thing, it's at the Westminster Church this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and I believe there are still some tickets.
Anybody else? No? Okay. Let's move into a time of prayer. Ever-living and ever-loving God, we praise you for your loving presence with us. Come, Holy Spirit, take and transform our societies, that broken people find healing, that lonely people find love, that bitter people find peace, and that fearful people find hope. Come, Holy Spirit, take our world's leaders and governments and bring renewal, that communication can be open, that relationships between hostile peoples and hostile nations will evaporate, that a hunger for justice addresses the hunger for food felt by so many. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your church, that our worship will be ever more pleasing to you, that our prayers will change our minds instead of trying to get you to change yours, that our lives will make a real difference to real people in the real world. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives with your presence so that more and more every day, all that we do and say and hope will be an act of worship to you and an expression of love to others. To the glory of your name, amen. Now we'll have the children's story.
Good morning. How are you? Can you see some of the stuff I've got up here today? What do you think we're celebrating? A birthday, yes. Today we're celebrating a birthday. Now, even though somebody in the congregation might be having a birthday, it's not their birthday we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the birthday of the whole church. So after Jesus had gone back up to heaven, he promised, well, before he got up, went up to heaven, before he went back up to heaven, he promised that he would send his disciples help in the form of the Holy Spirit. And today is the day that we remember that the Holy Spirit came down. So the things that we use to help celebrate a birthday will also help us remember some of the things that happened on that day. So I have a balloon here. I'm supposed to blow it up. Watch, you'll see a teacher unprepared. What happened to my balloon? It has a hole in it. It doesn't work. But if it was a balloon, what would have happened when I blew into it? It would have grown and been big. So you could see that even though you can't see air, that it makes stuff big and grow and wonderful. But broken balloons don't work so well. I should have checked it before I left home. So balloons need someone to breathe life into them, just like we need someone to breathe life into us. And the Holy Spirit is what does that. He breathes life into us. What do I have down here? It's a cake with candles, so that makes it a birthday cake. Now, I don't light the candles because I'm scared of fire. But we have candles over there, too. And the candles on a birthday cake and the candles on our altar there remind us that on that day, tongues of flame came down on the heads of the people that were receiving the Holy Spirit. So the candles, whenever we see candles, they can help us also remember the Holy Spirit. And does anyone know what these are? They're gifts, that's right. And the Holy Spirit came with gifts too. He came with gifts of forgiveness and truth and life. So you can't open them and touch them, but oh man, you sure know when you have them, don't you? Do you know when you're forgiven? Most of the time. Do you know when you're telling the truth? Yes. And do you know when you have a new life? Yes, you feel better. That's right. So this is our church birthday party today. I think right after this, we're going to have somebody reading, doing a kind of a dramatic reading thing. And after that, if you want, we can all go downstairs and have a piece of birthday cake. And after the cake, you can come quietly back up and sit with your parents. Would you like to do that? Okay, so we'll say our prayer, we'll listen to the reading, and then we'll go have some cake. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Help us to remember that the Holy Spirit still fills the church with power today, just as he did on the first day of Pentecost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place.
Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting.
They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven.
When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?"
"We are from Iran and Iraq."
"We are from Syria and Jordan."
"We are from Turkey and Armenia."
"We are from Palestine and Saudi Arabia."
"We are from Oman and Yemen."
"We are from Egypt and Libya."
"We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages."
What does this mean?
"In the last days, God says,
I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
Your sons and daughters will prophesy.
Your young men will see visions.
Your old men will dream dreams.
Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in these days, in those days, and they will prophesy.
I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below.
Blood and fire and billows of smoke.
The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord.
Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
So beautiful, I think I'll just stand beside it. Pentecost is amazing. When you read the story, you've got this sense as you come up to it that you're just waiting for the next step, like everything's ready for something to happen. It's like if you build a great engine, you know? Everything's hooked up in the car and the 750 Holley is all ready to go on there. Sorry, I'm old school. As I read through the story, actually, it feels like a bit of a recipe. And it goes like this. The first part of the recipe is ordinary people. Put them in the bowl. Ordinary people like the disciples. Or the people waiting for Jesus, the 120. Or the people in Jerusalem. Or us. We're the first part of this recipe. And into that you dump the teachings of Jesus. And ordinary people look at the teachings of Jesus and go, oh, now that's a good idea. We should try that. And to that we add the example, the model of Jesus. The difference between the teachings and the model of Jesus. You ever buy anything from IKEA? It's the difference between the instructions and seeing the finished Ubenflauber or whatever it's called. And you add that in there and you say, ah, that's where we're going. And to that you add the death of Jesus. And that unlocks two things. It unlocks us from our addictions to sin. We can decide whether we can unhook or not. And it unlocks the door to God for us to have a relationship. And finally, to this mix, and we're stirring madly in between, we add the resurrection, which takes away any obstacles in the way. Death isn't an issue anymore. Nothing's an issue anymore. And from now on, we say, we can do anything. We can fly. This is great. And you sit there with this concoction ready to go, and you're going, and then the Holy Spirit comes. Or I should say, the Holy Spirit explodes on the scene, and everything changes back to that motor. Somebody hits the key, and it roars to life. And back to this concoction, we become not just the sum of the parts, but more than that, we become the church. She should have really brought cake for us all. But anyhow, the church's birthday. Well, I sat and thought about that, and I thought, this is so cool. Let's take a look at the story. How is it that God comes in and touches our lives? So what is the first thing we see in there? It's what we hear. God coming in, it sounded like a mighty roaring wind. And it comes in through the windows, and I just imagine the people sitting like we are today, and all of a sudden the windows open and in comes this wind. It's the presence of God. And it's not there because these people are better than everyone else, or they follow the law better than anyone. It's grace. They were open. You heard Elizabeth talking about that. We're open to following the Spirit of God. Amazing things happen. They were open and God's Spirit floods in. Just as it does today. If we're open. And it's not that the Spirit comes because we're better than other people. Or because we've got an amazing history. And conversely, the Spirit doesn't stay away because some of us may have a few things going on in our lives. Or because we have a history of making mistakes. It's grace. And on Pentecost, we remember God in grace floods into the church and we experience God's presence. The second thing we see, actually, is tongues of fire. Now, I've got to just stop to tell you a quick story. I'm going through this sermon this morning and in the kitchen, and I get to this part and the fireplace lights. Like, I'm sitting there, Carol's taking a shower, nobody's touched this thing, we've lived there for almost 2 years. Fire, I'm waiting for the mighty wind, right? Spooky. And so these tongues of fire, and it reminds you of Exodus 3 with Moses out there in the burning bush. The fire represents the presence of God. Something's happening. Something not normal is happening. And the tongues of flame come. And now two things happen which are interesting. The first thing is it's very individualistic. The flames sit on each individual. On you, on the person next to you, on the person in the row in front of you. These flames of fire come down. We're told in Scripture that when we turn to follow Jesus, we have the Spirit of God within us. And what happens when the Spirit of God rests on us? It's a couple of things. One of them is it looses the spiritual gifts which have been sitting latent in our lives. All that good stuff that God built in as standard equipment for you and for me, each of us different for sure. And all of a sudden, they begin to rattle loose, and we begin to see our gifts and how they plug into the church, and it's exciting. And the second thing that happens is the fruit of the Spirit. Those seeds have been lying dormant in our lives. And when the Spirit comes in, they germinate and they begin to grow, and that love and joy and peace and all those other good things start to percolate in our lives. You're looking way too glum for what we're talking about here, folks. This is good stuff. And so within us, the Holy Spirit changes us, and we become, as we are open to the moving of the Spirit, more and more like Jesus, more and more like God made us to be. The second thing is about that is that everybody got the Spirit, not just the nice people, everybody in the room. That each person was part of something larger. And so God works in your life and in my life and in even in the choir members' lives. And each one is different with their gifts and with their personality and with what they bring. And each is strong. But God makes us need each other. I love the image that Paul uses of a body. Each part is indispensable. We need each other. We have been made strong and interdependent. That's church. That's how the Spirit works. So we hear the noise, the presence of God, the Spirit settles on us, and we begin to change, and He draws us together. The third thing that happens in here is really cool. We experience unity. The people start talking in different languages. It's estimated that at Passover, which is the holiday they were celebrating, about Jerusalem grew by three times. So there was twice as many people who weren't from there as who were. And so people from all over the known world with all these languages, and they come in and they understand what's going on. Somebody has suggested that maybe it wasn't that God touched the lips of the people who were filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe He touched the ears of the people who were ready to hear. At any rate, does this story sound familiar? Back up to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. And there God confused people's language and they didn't understand. And now, even though they're talking different languages, it doesn't impede their communication. Somehow they understand why. The Spirit of God is at work. And so when we come together as the people of God, we come together and we listen to each other and we hear each other. And we're different and we see things differently. But we end up holding hands. A unity happens when the Spirit of God is present. It does confound me somewhat when I look at history and I see that in history the church has done more than its share of fighting among itself. And divisions have been there. And I think that's a contradiction to the very definition of church. Church is defined as unity. Doesn't mean we don't have struggles. Doesn't mean we don't have differences. But we're committed to work it through, and the Holy Spirit is there to lead us to that end. The fourth thing that we see is we see that walls dissolve. Peter is talking and he's preaching from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. And as he's going in there, you see something really funny happen. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit it doesn't matter if they're male or female, if they're old or young, if they're high social status or slaves, makes no difference. The Holy Spirit works in everyone. The Holy Spirit works in you. Because you're open. Not because you're better or worse, but because you're open. It's like Paul in Galatians 3. There's no longer a distinction based on gender or ethnicity or social standing, because when you come to God, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you become children of God. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Or Ephesians 2, starting at about verse 10, I think. He's talking about how they used to be Jews and Gentiles and there was a wall in between. It's gone now. Now, very often when we think of removing walls, we think of the wall in the middle of Germany, for instance, in the middle of Berlin, rather. And it came down very violently, people smashing on it with hammers and big equipment. But as I read the story of the church, it seems that the walls evaporate. Like there's a difference between us, and somehow the Holy Spirit works in us, and the love is present and the caring, and all of a sudden we realize that we're interacting with people who used to be on the other side of a wall. What happened here? And what happened is the walls aren't important. Now, there's lots of walls. It's not just walls of some weird people and us. It's walls between different families. It's walls between people who have said hurtful things to each other. It's walls between people who read the Bible a little differently this way or that way. We've got a bit of a different theological understanding. All of these walls which happen, folks, they can happen here because we're human. But then, as we allow the Spirit of God to work in us, they evaporate. Just gone. The next thing, the last thing I want to mention is a little past our text. And it says the people were all listening to these people talking. And what they said is they listened to them talking and they saw the Holy Spirit at work. And they said, what do we do? And Peter says, ah. He's working on you too, is he? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repenting is saying, hey, I've got some stuff to clean up. And being baptized is saying, I'm making a statement here. So, if any of you are thinking about baptism, here's the shake. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be saved. And you will become a child of God. You're one of us. That's all you have to do. Repent, be baptized, in you go. Here's a puddle. Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. And as we look through that story down to verse 42 to 47, it has a picture of that church. And what are these people doing, the ones who came from all over the place? You heard different places here. Well, let's see, they were eating together. And they were sharing financially together, and they were studying the Bible, and they were worshiping, and they were having communion, and they were caring for each other. They were a church. They were a church. Today, well, one more thing from Romans chapter 8. It's wonderful. If we are open to the Holy Spirit coming in the windows of our church, we are open to the Holy Spirit sitting on our head and starting to rouse the gifts and allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow, then we also experience all these wonderful things, and we also become children of God. God's covenant promise was fulfilled through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today we have come to celebrate. We've come to celebrate that God has sent His Holy Spirit to empower us to turn on that motor so we can feel the horsepower to allow us to experience God's presence, to feel that growing and that in within us, to see unity grow among our church, to see walls go down because we don't need them anymore. And to see people respond, not because we got the coolest church in town, not because we got programs all over the place, not because of the preacher, for goodness sakes, for sure not. Not, well, maybe a little bit because of the choir. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here and we have become church. We have experienced God's renewal. And God is working at cosmic renewal here, which begins on Pentecost. We've experienced renewal in our lives. We've experienced the touch of God. We've experienced all these wonderful things. So what does that make us? People, we are Pentecostals. Do I have an amen?
Amen. Please take your insert in your bulletin and join the choir as they sing, O Spirit of the Living God. We will sing verse 1, 3, and 5, and you are invited to join in on 2, 4, and 6. Please stand.
Several notes before we begin our communion service. First of all, I would like to say that as we pass the bread and the cup in a few moments, we'd like to ask that you would hold them. We'd like to participate together to symbolize that we are the body of Christ. For those who have a gluten intolerance, you'll notice as the bread comes around that there's a little tray of crackers in the center which are gluten-free. Please avail yourself of those. And for those who would rather not have wine, when the cup comes around, you'll see that the inner circle is a little lighter color, and that's juice, so please use those. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, in this wonderful benediction, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, him be power in the church forever and ever." And that's what we have come to celebrate today. The Holy Spirit who does incredibly more than we have ever dreamt. And as we look back, we see that Spirit at work within our midst. But people, as we are open, Spirit's not done with us yet. So we want to come thanking God for the Holy Spirit and making a new commitment to say, "Yes, I am open as the Spirit moves." We celebrate the Spirit of God who hovered over creation and brought order out of formlessness. We celebrate the Spirit of God who filled Jesus with power and wisdom and through him made the life of God available to all. We celebrate the Spirit of God who has been poured out on all people and leads us into the kingdom of God. And so, as we gather at the Lord's table, we recognize the Spirit's presence among us and we open our hearts to the Spirit's influence. Let's pray. Gracious God, God of power and might, when you sent your Spirit, we were created. When we faltered, you recreated us. We give you thanks for life and breath. We praise you for your indwelling presence. Come now, Holy Spirit, breath of God, blow on us today. Take away the tiredness of our lives. Move within us. Renew us as we come to your table. We pray in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray before we distribute the bread. As we hold this bread, we are reminded of the way that through your death, we have been freed to turn to you and experience the joy of your love. We are truly grateful. Amen. Caregivers and servers, please.
Rejoice.
Has anyone been overlooked who would like to be served? As many grains of wheat are ground together to form this bread, so God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, brings us together to form one church. Take and eat it in remembrance of God's love and the call to us to be part of his body, the church. Let's participate. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. As we hold this glass, we are reminded of your sacrifice so that we could become your children and know the joy of being part of your church. For this we are truly grateful. Amen. Servers, please. Has anyone been overlooked? The cup you hold represents the blood of Christ, what Jesus has done for us. Today it also reminds us of the celebration of the Holy Spirit, who has come to wash over us, to bring us lives filled and marked by hope and peace and love and joy. And so I invite you to take this cup in thankfulness and in celebration for all that God has done. Let's participate. As we leave this table and go with God's Spirit, we begin anew. We are filled again. We are guided on our way. We are restored to life. By the power of the Spirit, we celebrate our renewal. Amen.
Let's stand for the benediction, and we'll remain standing for the closing song. May God's breath stream within you. May God's breath renew you. May God's breath invigorate you. Walk with confidence and peace into this day. Amen. Let's sing together number 420, Heart with Loving, Heart United.